Oh. Blessed be our God.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Magnificat, or Song of Mary, is in your blue hymnal in the first section, the S section, S247. Be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty, to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about the day or the hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I was first asked to babysit when I was just 9 years old. The family lived just down Willow Street from our house, one block away on the same side of the road. The young mother and father had a little girl. She was about 1.5 years old. When they asked me to babysit, I felt very puffed up and big. I must seem awfully mature to them, I thought. They told me to come on Saturday night at 6 o'clock because they wanted to go on a date. I got there on time. They left and I fed the little girl her dinner and I played with her and I put her to bed at 7:30. And then I sat alone in their house. I remember it vividly. It smelled different. There were shadows, it seemed like, all over the place, and the clock in the hallway just seemed to tick, tick, tick so loudly. At first, I thought, well, this is great. I can watch anything I want on television. So I watched The Wizard of Oz until about 9:15. And then there was that silence again, and the shadows, and the clock. I could hear the cars out on Willow Street. I was so aware of everything and scared. It seemed like the time just crawled by. By 10 o'clock, I had had enough, and I called my dad. My poor dad got out of bed, put on his slippers, and shuffled down the street, where he sat with me until the parents came home. It was a lot less scary waiting with him there. Waiting alone was just too much. By the time the parents came home, now that I'm a grown-up, I think it must have been strange for them to find their babysitter there with her dad. But then again, I was 9 years old. What in the world were they thinking? Today is the first Sunday of the Christian year, and the scripture tells us about the end of all things, the second coming of Christ. The way Mark describes it this morning, it sounds absolutely terrifying. The sun is darkened, the moon has no light, stars are falling down from the sky, and it says that the Son of Man comes on a cloud and he sends angels to gather us up. And Mark says the powers of the heavens are shaken. The powers of the heavens are shaken. It sounds like some kind of cosmic earthquake. Definitely not something that you would miss. Not something that you could sleep through or anything. Something that will jolt all of us awake, right? I mean, how could you miss that? The cataclysmic end of everything. So I'm always puzzled that Jesus follows this description of this cosmic event with words about how we're not supposed to fall asleep? Well, why does it matter if we fall asleep? I mean, that kind of event would definitely wake you up, wouldn't it? Jesus says that it is like the master of a household has left and we are the house sitters or the babysitters, and we're waiting alone in this house that doesn't belong to us, waiting for him to return. But if I had fallen asleep when I was babysitting, I don't think the parents would have been mad, do you? I would have woken up if the baby cried, and it was probably a little less awkward than me having my dad there. So what's wrong with falling asleep? Why does Jesus tell us that we need to stay awake, keep awake? I don't think that Jesus is talking about physical sleep, about how many hours of sleep you get a night or whether you take a nap. I think what he's talking about is mindfulness. Jesus is telling you and me that the state of your awareness has a direct impact on your salvation and on your relationship with God. It's not so much that you'll miss the end of the world as that you won't go to God if you're not aware of God's presence with you. I don't think he was talking about physical sleep. I think he was talking about spiritual malaise. You see, we human beings want to spend our lives half asleep. We like to numb ourselves. We have all kinds of numbing agents, you know, numbing tools. A great numbing tool is the television. You have some time, nothing to do, just turn it on and let the noise and activity fill you. Or the radio. It's hard for us to be alone and to do nothing. We would rather fill our time and feel comfortable. It's strange. I've noticed in my years as a priest that many people who get divorced didn't fight much in their marriage, but they'll talk about how things just don't seem to work anymore, that something was lost on the way. It's as if they were comfortable together for so long that they stopped working on the relationship and it just died. A counselor I was talking to said that couples that actually fight more, not physically, but argue and disagree and try to work on things, that they tend to stay together more. Why? Because they're awake and paying attention to each other. We don't like it if we have to suffer. We don't like to change things. Our schedule needs to stay the same every day. That's what we prefer, right? Little babies, they tell you, keep a fixed schedule and the child will be comforted by that. And grown-ups are the same. We like to exercise at the same time or on the same day. We like our Mondays to look a certain way, Tuesday and Wednesday, family holidays, getting out the same ornaments every year, putting them up. They comfort us. For 10 years, my dad has been waking up every morning and doing a Stairmaster. This is great, but I saw him a few months ago. His legs look very fit, but he has a beer belly. So I said, Dad, why don't you try mixing it up a little? Do some abdominal exercises. Oh, no, no, no. This is what I do. I do the Stairmaster. Okay, I said. We like things to be just the same. An ideal life would be a life with no disruptions, no illnesses, no joblessness, no pain, because we don't want to be woken up by them. Those things are wake-up calls. They force you to remember how precious and fragile life is. We would rather have life go on as normal, day in and day out, half asleep. There is no greater numbing agent than busyness. We rush around so much that we let our days fly by us, and we don't savor our lives. Yesterday, I spent 4 hours tearing around doing errands with 3 boys in the car. I don't hardly remember any of it. Our busy schedules numb us down like you wouldn't believe, and years of our lives can rush by without us stopping and realizing that God wants us to wake up. I think one of the reasons why we rush so much is because we're afraid to stand still. Because when we stand still, we get scared. We notice the shadows on the wall and we feel alone. And we wonder if there's anything out there at all. We feel our emptiness when we stop for a moment. But how can God fill you if you don't acknowledge that you need to be filled? This Advent, everything and everyone is going to be telling you that you need to buy, 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 and rush, 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 and go from one party to another, and do this and do that and decorate everything. I want you to make a promise to yourself. Promise that in these precious 4 weeks in which we wait for Jesus, that you'll find some time to stop the car, to slow down. Let yourself be alone for a moment and feel the emptiness. Otherwise, how can Christ fill it? I've served in 3 churches before this one. As many of you know, my days get awfully full too, and years seem to fly by. But a few weeks ago, I was preparing to teach about prayer, and I realized something extraordinary. Although I have a terrible long-term memory, there's one place in each church that I can remember with vivid recollection. The chapel. Because I forced myself to go in there and sit still. I can remember the painting of Mary and Jesus above the altar. And how the light filtered through the stained glass window. Just like how I can remember being 9 years old and sitting awake at night in that strange house. I remember these things vividly because they were the rare moments in which I was truly awake. Stop for a moment. Take some time to be with God this Advent. Jesus is asking you. Wake up, he's saying. Please, wake up. Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, come among us. For all who are ill, suffering, lonely, or in distress, especially Bobby Walker, Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the welfare of the world, for peace among nations, wisdom for our leaders, and an end to all hunger and suffering, Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the Church Universal and this congregation here gathered, that we may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments, Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the departed, that they may be welcomed into your light and presence, we remember especially Sarah Jean Jolly. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For everyone gathered here, give us courage, strength, and perseverance to reserve time for you during this Advent season and wait for you in peace.
Lord, come among us.
We give thanks for the coming of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us. We thank you, Lord, for these 4 weeks of the season of Advent. Help us to find time to wait with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God. God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew, and you can fill that out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We also have folks at the entrance of the church who will give you a welcome bag, and they can take you on a tour if you'd like to see our beautiful building. You'll notice that we have some new words in our service. Have you noticed that? Yes. We are using some words from the Episcopal churches enriching our worship, and we're going to use a Eucharistic prayer from the Church of England. This is also designed to wake you up a little. Doesn't it make you listen? Yes, it's very beautiful, too. They're very beautiful prayers. At the presentation, when we bring our gifts to the altar, we're going to sing hymn 51, as we have been for a few months, but we're going to sing verses 3 and 4 of hymn 51 instead of verses 1 and 2, verses 3 and 4. For this first Sunday of Advent, we do not traditionally have Sunday school. Instead, we have a wonderful fair that's going on in Tolliver Hall. You can make your own Advent wreath. During these 4 weeks of Advent, it is traditional in the church for hundreds of years to bring light slowly into the world as the days grow darker. So as you can see, in the first week of Advent, we just light one candle. In the second week, the second, third, and fourth. And so you can put this on your dining room table or wherever you eat and light the candle before you have your meal. So come into Tolliver and make your own Advent wreath with us. We also have crafts for the kids, an alternative gift market that helps the poor, and our bookstore. We are still waiting for the last of our pledging members to pledge, so if you come here regularly but have not pledged, please go online and do that so we can write our budget and get things underway. We're grateful for whatever pledge you give us. And tonight at 5 o'clock, we have one of the most beautiful services of the Christian year. It is called the Advent's Procession of Lessons and Carols. Beautiful service. You're welcome to come. And lastly, kids, in your bulletin, there should be a purple sheet. And on that sheet, there is a scavenger hunt. There are various people, figures, that are on their way to Bethlehem that will be moving every Sunday closer to the manger. So you can go and find them this morning using your purple sheet. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Oh,
How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them you raised up Jesus, our Savior, born of Mary, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us into the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity. Guard her faith and preserve her in peace. Bring us at last with John and all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by him, with him, and in him, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and always. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God.